All right. Hello there, and welcome to episode 215 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. Yours truly, FlameFlash here, back with Mordecai. Hi, bud.
Yeah, hello.
Think everybody's finally over the cold fully, don't you?
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. It's a relief.
I just still have a cough because I swallowed soap a week ago.
Yeah. That's not something one should do.
It wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, true. But with that being said, and forever blowing bubbles, how have your last couple of weeks been, bud, since it has been a couple of weeks since you were on the podcast?
Not much that I can think of. Mostly just listening to music. Earlier today I did play some Overwatch and kept on getting play of the game.
Nice. And that's the first time you've been in Overwatch in a while, right?
Yeah, I think it's been about a year.
And I know it was being uncooperative for you with the Battle.net launcher. Just wasn't updating properly all the time, right?
Right.
And so installing it via Steam, since that's an option now, seemed to work better?
Yeah.
A lot better. Good. Yeah, because I've transitioned over to Steam too, mostly because Battle.net is basically for World of Warcraft and Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And everything else, Steam is the king as far as digital distribution goes. Epic tries to worm its way in, but really Epic's Fortnite, which we also have been playing a little bit. We're kind of segueing straight into what have we been playing in the last week. I saw you playing some kind of a custom map thing with custom weapons. It's just kind of a free-for-all, right?
Right.
And then everybody spawns back in, and then they fight more, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Cool. And then we also did some Fortnite Mares with your brother Sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
Did we play with Sword Agent this last week as well? I can't remember. Or was that
a week
before?
So.
Okay.
I think so.
Quite enjoying Fortnite Mares. Fortnite, at one time, you could organize your characters and loadouts and like your cosmetics all to one character. And then they did away with that, and now they brought it back. So I'm still trying to rebuild all of the characters and things that I had originally had back in the day. And it doesn't help that I am a complete sucker for nostalgia. So, of course, I now have the full Scooby Gang. It's right there on my forehead, the word sucker. Nostalgia sucker. So I organized those, and then I also organized my Ninja Turtle crew, which I've had for ages, among a few other things. We were going to play, and then for some reason we didn't, and while I was loitering, waiting for others to join me, I organized things, and then I think we switched to WoW for a little bit instead, when just a bit of miscommunication.
Yeah.
We also got to almost get through a full Mario Party Jamboree session Friday and Saturday.
I just got too tired.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll probably knock it out maybe this next weekend or later. That's the bonus to Mario Party is it saves.
Yeah.
So why not do the full 30 turns because you'll come back to it. And Thunderer was in the lead for quite a while. Is she still in the lead?
Second, I think.
Okay, I've overtaken her, or?
Yeah.
Okay, couldn't remember. And other than that, I have been playing No, I Am Not a Human with Sleepy. It's an interesting game. His game choice is typically more story-based, story-driven. And this is very much a Halloween-y visual novel-esque game.
Siri.
If are you familiar with Papers, Please? That game.
No.
So you're basically vetting guests in both of these games. And if they're an evil guest, you need to remove them through shooting. And if they're a human guest, keep them around. Because if you're alone in your house, a different evil entity will come knocking at your door and kill you. So you have to keep people in your house. There are other complications, like FEMA shows up and takes various guests for testing. So you're not guaranteed to just play all the way through successfully with the guests that you start with. The evil guests will also kill the humans in the house. So you have to make sure you only have humans, or else you're screwed. But you have to have a large enough population that when FEMA comes by to take one of your guests to do testing, that you're not alone. Because sure enough, FEMA will take some people, and then the creepy guy that will barge in if you're not alone, or if you are alone, shows up and breaks in and kills you. Right? It Some aspects of it are a little too random. Like, there's not an easy way to say, no, I want this particular person to stick around. I'm going to fight you, FEMA, if you try to take this person. I want to see the whole story with this person play out. And other times, you get stuck with NPCs that you really didn't want. It varies. I've gotten a few hours into it so far. Let's see here. Obviously not as many hours as Civ 7, but 10 hours into a visual novel-esque game, that's pretty impressive, really. Meanwhile, of course, Civ 7, I'm up to 133, but different game styles. And in comparison, Helldivers 2 at 77. So Civ 7 has definitely overtaken the house. That would be another game that we pl have played over the last week. Though I think you've mostly bowed out, and I've been the one playing that, haven't I? And then other what because Merce just had a birthday, and we welcomed him in with Sword Agent getting him Civ 7 for his birthday. And then a different friend, Jet Burnt, got him the DLC, so he was fully caught up that way.
Nice.
So this latest game, I was also playing some D&D this evening. So this latest game, I kind of dual screened it. So I had Civ going on the bottom screen, D&D going on the top. And it was chaos in D&D. So it works. Having Civ there to help center me, clicking through as I waited for my opportunity to come up. Lots of strong personalities in that game. So I hang back and let them do the chaos. This is a little bit of a different style. It's more survive, fly under the radar. So letting everybody else talk is a strategic choice too. I'm not going to interject heavily because the big bad evil guy has already taken over the town, is already there, and we're level two. So we need to survive and level up, or else get word out of town that we're in trouble, something. But that pretty heavily summarizes the gaming. It was fall break, so we got more gaming in than usual. which is probably why there was so much gaming. Yesterday also contained the No King's Day rally. Now, before we jump to that, unless you have other gaming, is that about it? Okay. Pretty neat technology news is Apple is considering finally adding touchscreens to their laptops. It's been a long time coming. It's about dang time. Okay. It's about dang time. Anyway. Finally, also, is just the general relief of fall weather hitting. Like, we had one false final summer there a week or two ago. And now the leaves are finally changing. Yeah. And it is beautiful outside. It is glorious. It is pretty. So, if anybody is feeling stressed or anxious, may I recommend finding comfort in nature and the gift of the absolutely gorgeous vistas that are available wherever you might be. Assuming you're in the United States, in the Northern Hemisphere, where, you know, fall is settling in. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, I have no idea. I'm happy spring. But, yeah. Another funny bit, because at the beginning of the week was the Israeli ceasefire. And Trump was very quick to go, peace in the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, especially when he did not get the Nobel Peace Prize that all of his followers were pushing for him to get in this last few months. He's very bitter still about not getting it after Obama got it. And Obama and his anger toward Obama and his social media blitz against Obama is what eventually got Trump the White House the first time around in the first place. It just did. He grew on the political stage thanks to nonsense like the birther movement, claiming that President Obama wasn't a U.S. citizen and that he wasn't born in the United States. Nonsense like that. Complete and utter nonsense. Some people still believe it because they're in a cult. But from there, Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize. Now, to be fair, and I think I've said this before, I still don't understand why he got a Peace Prize. Like, I'd have to look it up, but I remember at the time even going, why? I don't get it. Cool. Good for him. The Nobel Committee must have been looking at a bunch of other things that I wasn't. But I remember at the time going, why? So, just to be fair and balanced, big air quotes there. But the Time magazine cover celebrating Trump's triumph, big air quotes again.
A ceasefire isn't peace. It's temporary peace.
Very, very good point. Very good point, bud. A ceasefire is just that, a ceasefire. But let's just zoom in on this for a second. Like, OG, that's not a good look. It's just not.
Yeah.
So if you're with me on the video version, I have it here front and center. And I mean, as even President Trump says, a mo something along the lines of a moderately positive article, but one of the worst pictures ever. Somebody was borrowing their Midwestern passive aggressiveness to the nth glorious degree. But this is one of those, I'm going to acknowledge that the administration did something good in this one period of time internationally, but they have royally screwed up so much, both internationally and domestically, that I am going to passively aggressively give President Trump the most unflattering picture I can find. I mean, the old man neck, whatever is going on there, folds, the uninjured ear that, supposedly got heavily pierced during that occurrence with the shrapnel during the campaign. The fact that you can see the sun shining through the comb over. Just wow.
To be fair about the ear piercing thing, when was that picture taken?
When was this picture taken?
Yeah.
No idea. So, very true. Very balanced. It could be that this was taken beforehand, but I would assume not. I would assume it's a fairly recent. I don't think there's a date on the picture itself, but yeah. So there's that. It's gloriously passive aggressive. To stay in political news, in the government shutdown, so something that President Trump, before he was president, said about Obama and his government shutdown was that only weak presidents have government shutdowns. This is Trump's second one, second big one. What does that say about him, using his own metric,
Yeah.
that he's a weak president? But that's neither here nor there. He threatened to not only furlough federal workers, send them home without pay because the government shut down, you can't do any work, but so that's more furloughing. There's no work. You're going home, no pay, you're not working. It's kind of like construction workers who can't work in winter. They're furloughed, they're temporarily unemployed. He was pushing to hard lay off all of the employees or make it so they wouldn't be coming back after the government shutdown was over. That got blocked. Not only due to judicial interference, because what he was wanting to do was frankly illegal, but it wasn't even going to be logistically possible because HR is also furloughed. So there's nobody there to fill out and process all the paperwork. It's just not a logistically possible thing.
Yeah.
The government is not a business. And yet again, he tried to run it like a business and he failed. We're at a negotiation impasse, though. Completely. House Republicans say their job is done and they've gone home. And they are refusing to return to Washington, D.C. to even negotiate because as Speaker Johnson has put it, they've done their job. They've sent something to the Senate. Now it's up to the Senate to negotiate and come to an agreement. That's not how government works. If something is not making it through, that's not how our government is supposed to work. If something's not making it through the Senate, then the House should be starting back from square one and trying to send more offerings to the Senate. Just keep sending. You don't go, oh, test is done, I'm out. Peace. You stay and you get the work done. The Democrats are making a very big deal out of the fact that they are still in Washington, D.C., that they are willing and ready to work and negotiate and find common ground. And the Republicans just aren't having it.
Of course.
So it's a complete negotiation impasse. My expectation is that nobody budges until the open enrollment letters start hitting more congressional seats. Because statistically speaking, most places that have people that are going to be hurt by the reason that Democrats want to negotiate further, want to extend insurance subsidies, is to save people money. They see this as a big political win opportunity, and they have latched onto it, and they're not going to let go. Because the people that they're going to win over are in Republican districts. So if the Republicans do nothing, their voters' insurance rates are going to go through the roof. Now, what the Democrats see on the horizon, however, is that this is a snowball effect. Like, my health insurance is going up by $40 a month. That's pretty darn small in comparison. Some of these people are looking at increases of $1,000 a month. It's fairly typical that every year your health insurance goes up. It just is. Shouldn't be the case, but it is. But when these constituents get the letter, they're going to get angry. They're going to start yelling at their representatives, and the House is going to have to come back and negotiate. They're going to have to come back and send something else in to the Senate. Because what the Senate is doing right now is basically insanity. They keep submitting the same thing and expecting a different result. Exactly. And last but not least, because the government is shut down, because House Republicans are refusing to work, there is an Arizona Democrat representative who has yet to be sworn in. Now, there were two Republicans and a Democrat all sworn in ahead of her from other special election situations.
Mm-hmm.
But she hasn't been yet. And Speaker Johnson's only excuse is, his first excuse was, well, the family's not here. They deserve pomp and circumstance. They deserve it to be a big deal. We're not in session right now, so we can't swear her in. Well, that doesn't hold water because she literally brought her family in, and they still wouldn't do it. And now Speaker Johnson's like, well, she has an office, she has some staff, she can start to work, except because she's not officially sworn in, she hasn't been granted a government email address yet. which means she can't print. She can't log into her office computer. So, and her staff members can't log into their office computers. So Speaker Johnson is yet again speaking from both sides of his mouth. He barely is speaking the truth, but behind that is the real truth that she can't actually work. She, because she's not sworn in, she can't actually work. Their big point is she would be the majority signatory to push for the Epstein files. So
interesting.
Who knows what the reality of the situation is as to why he's refusing to sign her in. It could be as petty as she's a woman and she's a Democrat, so I don't want her in, you know. Or it could be the Epstein files. We just don't know. We won't know. Because he's not being honest. He's just making excuses. So, that's like everything that has happened thus far this week. Have you seen anything else or have any thoughts or questions on the last week? Because it was kind of a busy week.
The only thing I've seen is the No Kings protest.
Excellent. And that was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking for a magic population number of 11 million people, or 3.5% of the population.
Oh, wow.
So at 3.5% of the population protesting, that generally...
3.5 of America?
Yes. That generally pushes, in political science terms, if 3.5% of the population is protesting leadership, the government topples. Because if we're at that critical of a mass of people, there are those behind the scenes that aren't going, that aren't showing up. Assumed. Yesterday, we had an estimated 7 million.
Oh, wow.
So we're 4 million shy at this point of that magic number. Just one of those things. A dictatorship cannot stay in power successfully when it hits that 3.5% threshold, historically speaking. So we're almost there. Now, the No Kings protest, with nearly 7 million people out and about, the protest was very successful in staying united in a Protect America from Trump and the Republican Party in power theme. Very good job doing that. Meanwhile, the Trump administration and tried to just kind of undersell it. Speaker Johnson went as far as trying to label it the Hate America rally. But come on, dude. This is a large group of people stepping out, exercising their First Amendment right of speech and assembly, and saying, I don't like what's going on. Some Republicans, you know, to be balanced. We're like, I don't agree, but they're welcome to do whatever they want to because that's their constitutional right. So some on the Republican side are at least acknowledging that they had a right to do what they did.
Yeah, that's good, at least.
But not everyone. President Trump, for instance, hinted that it kept trying to spread the conspiracy that all of these protesters were paid for. I'm sorry, but how do you pay 7 million people? Siri is interrupting us in the background. Nobody can hear it but us. But how do you, you know, yeah. It's not logistically possible. So his tried and true, well, not true, his tried and definitely not true gaslighting process of, oh, well, all of these protesters are just paid. None of them. Everybody loves me, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody would be protesting me if it wasn't paid for. Oh, look at all of these signs. Look at all of these signs that look alike. So somebody must have pre-printed them and handed them out in the beginning. But no, dude, I'm sorry. Please, please just stop trying to gaslight. Everybody was showing up against you. 7 million people across the country went to the streets and said, we don't like you.
Yeah.
Now, granted, a lot of them were, say, in very blue areas. So Portland is still being Portland, and there were tons of inflatable costumes marching around, dancing around. One favorite sign said, not a paid protester, I hate Trump for free. Like, they're being whimsical about it because that's what they are. If they present a kind of nonsensical image, then the Republican side of the argument of, oh, these people are dangerous, they're violent, etc. How is somebody dressed up like an inflatable unicorn dangerous? They're just not.
I actually think I saw a TikTok quoting Trump like, there's fires everywhere and crime everywhere. And showed a clip saying, meanwhile, location.
Meanwhile, in Portland.
And there was just a inflatable axolotl literally throwing it back.
A twerking inflatable axolotl.
In front of a ICE agent.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. And that's something that Washington, D.C. protesters were doing too, actually. I saw a similar clip, a TikTok clip, of all of them yelling out, arrest me, daddy, turning around. Yeah, seriously. Arrest me, daddy.
No.
And they spun around, held their hands behind their backs, and then just kind of twerked in the officer's general direction. One of the officers started laughing. Like, they're human beings too. And that's what a lot of people seem to forget. These ICE agents, these police officers, they're put in a very difficult position of orders versus morality. And they're trying to skirt that line. And they're human, and they're going to laugh at something obnoxiously weird like that. Because, arrest me, daddy! I mean, you're cringing every single time I say it for good reason.
Yeah.
And bursting out into laughter with good reason. We're doing it peacefully. And that's the thing that is driving the Republicans the most nuts.
Because they threw away riot and were basically being passive aggressive.
Exactly. Because the Republican Party said, F this crap, let's start a riot on January 6th. And here we are, those that oppose President Trump saying, we're not starting a riot. We're going to have a party against you. And the cat is begging so forcefully to come inside right now that that's what's distracting you now, isn't it?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. I can just hear the thumping against the back porch door. He didn't come in after dinner. But, yeah, you can hear him throwing himself at the door now, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so there's that. It was clearly not Hate America Day. Nothing happened among 7 million protesters that really would legally justify the Insurrection Act. Because Trump would love to trigger the Insurrection Act. That would give him the ability to declare martial law, the ability to declare or to send in the National Guard and completely stamp out all protesting. But he's already trying it by saying the groups like Antifa are terrorists. Well, the thing that they keep missing is the fact that being Antifa means it stands for anti-fascist. So if being anti-fascist is a bad thing, that must mean that you are a fascist. Logically, I don't find any other solution to that. Do you?
No.
Like, I just don't. So, President Trump also did some trolling yesterday online. So while he was watching very, very bitterly all of these 7 million people doing that, he posted some AI videos, some AI-generated pictures, one which had him flying in a jet labeled King Trump, and what looked like dropping poo on protesters.
Doesn't that prove our point?
It kind of does, yeah. It also shows just how classless this man is. Take criticism with grace. It is not a personal attack, typically. In this case, it kind of is. But in a typical situation, if somebody is offering criticism, it is not a personal attack. It is me, say, as a parent, telling you, here's a place for room for improvement. It's not a personal attack. It's not meant to hurt your feelings. It's meant to teach.
Yeah.
The protesters, in a large roundabout way, at the end of the day, it is, we are trying to let you know we are unhappy with the current situation. Please change it. Please do something different.
Yeah.
Not, we hate you, we want you to die, etc. Now, I can't speak for 7 million people, but that's for it to be a peaceful protest. That's the end goal. Please stop doing what you're doing. in a roundabout way. So the fact that he can't take that with grace, with true leadership, and takes it personally, and quite literally craps on the protesting, that man is, in my opinion, not a fit leader. Because he is as thin-skinned and snowflake-ish as the Republicans were projecting out that their opponents were. Because that was a common insult that the Republicans would use during Trump's first term was, oh, you're just a bunch of snowflakes. You'll, I guess, melt at any provocation or heat, or it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me why they're called snowflakes, because snowflakes are these beautiful, intricate things that are each individual and each unique. So I don't understand it being an insult, but it was an insult, supposedly. But here they are, feeling thin-skinned about all of this. Yeah, there's a direct quote of Trump saying, all the brand new signs, I guess, paid for by George Soros, who is, and other radical left lunatics. A loved conspiracy theory of theirs is that there is some all-encompassing far-left organization handing all of this out in trying to instigate change because they can't admit that they're wrong. Just like they don't have the grace to take in criticism, they can't admit that they're wrong. They can't admit that they lied. Speaker Mike Johnson, excuse me. And a couple of other things that very trollish. Like, this would be something if he wasn't the president on social media, just in an argument with somebody else. Posting a AI picture of somebody putting a crown on your head and having others bow to you that otherwise are usually against you. Social media troll battles, fine. There are different rules there. But for the President of the United States to post a fake AI-generated video of the Vice President putting a crown on his head and various Democrat leaders bowing to him, that's yet another classless troll post that I can't believe the cult is. Well, I can believe the cult is okay with it. Then, of course, he's also putting some Democrats in sombreros and AI-generated videos to mark that the big lie that somehow Democrats are pushing for health care for illegal immigrants. It's 100% illegal to give illegal immigrants health insurance through the American, through Obamacare. So that talking point hasn't stuck. And in fact, they've dropped that talking point. They're not using that talking point anymore because they got called out too much in the media, thankfully. Yeah. Interviewers were doing their jobs and saying, yeah, that's not true. So what you're saying doesn't hold water. And they've backed off on saying that. So journalists are doing their jobs, thankfully. But still, it's another one of those classless, disgusting things. But 7 million people came out. At the end of the day, 7 million people came out and said, we don't like what's going on. And if 7 million people were able to do that, how many behind the scenes who are in remote locations and can't easily get to one of those protests? I'm raising my hand for those that might be listening to the audio version.
We live in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly. How many of us were represented by proxy because we couldn't get anywhere like that? So there's more than 7 million people now. He has been shown with the numbers, and he has been shown they're all peaceful, that he can't institute martial law with any legs to stand on. And the midterms are still basically a year away. Ugh. We have another year of this, for the most part.
Jeez.
Yeah. Any parting thoughts? I think I've gone... This is a longer episode, but there was a lot that happened this week. So, any parting thoughts, though? You're just tired and want to go to bed?
Basically,
yeah. Well, podcast at flameflash.net if you'd like to write in. Or feel free to leave a comment on the blog, any of the blogs, or the YouTube channel. Here, I'll live double check that we don't have any comments pending. I don't think we do. You have no notifications. I think that means we don't have any notifications. Let's...
Whoa.
View the channel. Wow. Episode 206 got 50 views. Thank you, folks. Not sure why, but keep up the vigilance. There it is. So, thank you for those viewing. Thank you for those stopping in, and feel free to leave a comment.
Live with honor.
And remember, oh wow, I'm screwing it up. Yep.
It's been a while.
Yep. Freedom and autonomy is the right of all sentient beings. Have a good night. This was episode 215.